Okay, so let's continue. We're into Perek Lamed Daled. Perek Lamed Daled talks about the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael, and how Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided up. Okay, so in the second half of the Perek, the Psukim describe, like I said, Eretz Yisrael, how it's going to be divided up. And it says, Eilishmos Hoanashim Hashin Chaluchem Esarvitz. These are the people who will help take possession for you of the land. In other words, these are the people who will help divide up the land when it's supposed to be divided up. Rashi there already quotes, we'll get to this in a few minutes again, that every Nasi of every Shevet was an apotropis for his Shevet. I think the English term is a trustee. And that means that each Shevet received its own portion of Eretz Yisrael. And then the Nasim helped divide up, you know, spot by spot, how each Shevet would divide up its section of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara explains that the Nesim were given the authority to, in a sense, choose for each family which part that they would want. Maybe a part that's higher elevation, a lower elevation, a part that's, we'll see later, that's closer to Yerushalayim, or further from Yerushalayim. So each of the Nesim had this, an apotropos is someone who watches over somebody else's possessions for him. Let's say, Lo Aleinu, there's a Yosom, there's an orphan, and he has possessions. He inherited from his parents. So the Mishnayos talk about, the Mishnayos and the Gemara talk about appointing an apotropos to take care of his possessions and his money until he's old enough to take care of it for himself. I think sort of like a legal guardian that we would have in nowadays. So these Nesim, they had this authority to help divide up the land. Okay. Now, there are several comments here in the Mefarshim about how the Torah presents exactly these Nesim. So it's striking that for most of these Nesim, it says the word Nasi. It says Nasi Echad, Nasi Echad, and it says L'matei b'nei Don Nasi Buki ben Yagli. L'bnei Yosef Nasi Chaniel ben Ephod, etc. It mentions the word Nasi. He was a prince. By several, it doesn't mention the word Nasi. By Yehuda, Shimon, and Binyamin, the word Nasi is not mentioned. So the Mefarshim give different pshatim. Why not? So I found here a beautiful pshat in Rav Hirsch here says as follows. The representative of all the other tribes are presented by their honorable title Nasi. Only not at the tribes of Yehuda, Binyamin, and Shimon, the word Nasi is not mentioned. When we consider that the territory of Yehuda and Binyamin is to be thought of as the nearest periphery of the sanctuary of Hashem, in other words, the Beis HaMikdash was built on the land of Yehuda and Binyamin. The Gemara explains exactly how it was divided up, which is to be erected on its soil, and that the realm of Shimon really only formed an enclave of Yehuda. Shimon was located right near Yehuda. It might appear to be suggested that, at the thought of the sovereignty of Hashem and His Torah, which the Beis HaMikdash represents, no other is to be thought of in the commanding demeanor of prince. In other words, when you're talking about the area around the Beis HaMikdash, it's not proper to use the word Nasi, because that implies there's like some other authority. There's a Nasi. No. When you're near the Beis HaMikdash, you have to remember it's only Hashem. You have to focus exclusively on the sovereignty of Hashem. So maybe as a remez, these Shvatim were located right very close to where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. Therefore, there's an added emphasis. There's an added emphasis that you have to focus exclusively on Hashem, and not on any other authority. Therefore, the Torah very subtly leaves out the word Nasi by these three Shvatim. It's a very nice pshat. It's a diuk in the psukim there. Again, other Mefarshim discussed this point. Rav Hirsch gives a very nice pshat. It's to add the emphasis that around the Beis HaMikdash, only Hashem, in a sense, is the Nasi. Okay, now, There's another idea in the Netziv here. He makes another diuk in the language of how these Nesim are presented. By most of the Shvatim, it says, Livnei Yosef, Lumatei Vinei Menashe, Lumatei Vinei Zvulun, Lumatei Vinei Yisachar, it says Bnei. Which means literally, and for the tribe, Matei, for the tribe of the children of the Shevet, this is the prince. Matei means the tribe, the Shevet, and Bnei means the children. So it mentions the word Bnei. However, by Yehuda and by Binyamin, it doesn't say Bnei. It's Ve'elish Mos Hanashim Lematei Yehuda, Kalev Ben Yefune, Lematei Binyamin, Elidad Ben Kislon. It doesn't mention Bnei. Very striking, a very striking omission. Oh, so just again, Rav Hirsch, if you look in Rav Hirsch there connects this to the other point that I just quoted from Rav Hirsch, that the fact that the word B'nai is left out by Yudim and Yamin relates to the fact that that's where the base HaMikdash is going to be built, and that's how he explains the fact that the word B'nai is not mentioned there. Okay. But the Netziv has another pshat, and what's interesting here is the Netziv in this pshat quotes his brother-in-law and his son. So let's see. V'hine. B'chol HaShvatim k'siv B'nai levad me'Yehuda u'Binyamin. For Amar Gisi, that means brother-in-law, Harav Hagaon, Mar Yechiel Michal Halevi, that's Yechiel Michal Halevi Epstein, that's the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan was the Netziv's brother-in-law. The Aruch HaShulchan married the Netziv's sister. So that's V'chach He'la B'ni, and also my son said the same thing, Harav Hagaon Mar Chaim Neroi Ir. The Netziv's son was, one of his sons was Reb Chaim, that's Chaim Berlin. The Netziv's name was Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berliner. His son was named Chaim, that's Chaim Berliner. And the yeshiva in America, Chaim Berlin, is named after the Netziv's son, Reb Chaim Berlin. So they said the following pshat. Mishum de'ikr to'eles ha'nesim, ha'yim mishum shebo l'chov gam l'ktanim, kirisa b'kidushin, reish perak beiz u'bekam mekomos. Ubuchal hachov hu hayakur ve'veruchka miyushalayim. Kidisa v'abasra. Says as follows. One of the roles of the Nesim, as I explained before, was to divide up the land. Now, when you divide up the land, so, you know, there's higher land and lower land, and there's some land that's better for planting, and other land that's not as good. So the Nesim had to work out, you know, what each family is going to get, and make sure that it was fair. So one family might gain in one area. Let's say one family might have a better location, but have a smaller amount of land. Another family might have more land, but be in a less prime location. So the Nesim were given this halachic authority to make those decisions on behalf of the members of their Shvatim. That's the pshat, that they were an apotropos, that they had this authority to make these decisions. Now, one of the issues was being further or close to Yerushalayim. The Gemara says that people wanted to be close to Yerushalayim. Oh, so the Netziv says, Mishum hachi b'chol ha'shvatim k'siv b'nei, v'lame de'af agav shayu har bei ketanim, hayu cholim l'chuv. That's why by all the Shvatim, it mentions the word b'nei to emphasize that there were ketanim. See, the Gemara explains that normally by shlichus, if you're going to be someone's shliach, then normally, the person who appoints you a shliach has to be above age, has to be a bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. You can't appoint a shliach if you're not old enough. The term is a ben das. You have to be 13 or a girl 12 to appoint a shliach. Here, the Nesim were working as shlichim, even though they were working on behalf of people who were ketanim. There were children in the Shvatim, ketanim, under the age of 13. And the Gemara explains how these Nesim had the authority to work and to make decisions on behalf of the Ketanim above and beyond the normal rules of Shlichus. This is more than the normal rules of Shlichus. So to emphasize that the Nesim are working on behalf even of the Ketanim, the Psukim say what? B'nei, the children of. To emphasize that there were many children, even young children, in the Shvatim. Masha Ein Kein, B'Yehuda U'Binyamin, Shayu B'chal, Krovim U'Yushalayim. But B'Yehuda and Binyamin, they were right next to Yerushalayim. So this particular angle, here's what the Nesiv is giving a halachic pshat. The Rav Hirsch's pshat is more al derech like hashkafa machshava. The Netziv's pshat is more al derech halacha. The Netziv is saying that since in these Shvatim they were close to Yerushalayim anyway, so this aspect of like a negative thing, being far from Yerushalayim, didn't apply in these Shvatim. So therefore, the Torah didn't have to emphasize as much that the Nesim were working on behalf of the Ketanim. So leaves out the word B'nai. This is the pshat that the Netziv quotes from his son, from Reb Chaim Berlin, and from his brother-in-law, the Aruch HaShulchan. Again, one aspect of the authority of the Nesim was that they could make decisions you can make a decision on behalf of someone that has a positive component and a negative component. So the Nesim had that authority, that even though there was a negative component to their decision, let's say you're further from Yerushalayim, yeah, but maybe it's better land. So the Nesim had that authority in dividing up the land, how to divide and how to give it to give out to each family. So and that applied especially to Ketanim. So to emphasize that, it says B'nai. But since one aspect of the Chov, one aspect of a negative consequence of dividing up the land, didn't apply by Yehuda and Binyamin, i.e., being further from Yerushalayim, because both Shvatim, they're right there by Yerushalayim. Therefore, they were considered close to Yerushalayim. Therefore, the Torah leaves out the word B'nai to hint to that idea. Okay? It's a very sharp, halachic pshat. Just the point about the family relationships of the Netziv and the Aruch HaShulchan. So as the Netziv writes here, the Aruch HaShulchan was his brother-in-law. The Aruch HaShulchan married the Netziv's daughter. The Aruch HaShulchan married the Netziv's sister. Now we know, and that's why the Torah Tamima was the son of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Torah Tamima was Rav Baruch Epstein. He wrote the Torah Tamima. It's an excellent, important sefer. The Torah Tamima on every pasuk quotes the Gemaras and some of the Midrashi Halacha on that pasuk. So let's say you want to give a shiur on the Aseres Hadibros. So you want to know about Kabeda Sivicha Vesimecha. And you want to find what do Chazal say about Kabeda Sivicha Vesimecha. So you don't know all the Gemaras. So you open up the Torah Tamima and that pasuk will quote for you the 10, 20, 30, whatever number of Gemaras there are that refer to the psukim of Kibud Av V'Em in the Aseres Hadibros. And that's the first part of the Sefer. In the bottom part of the Sefer, in the notes, the Torah Tamima explains how Chazal learned out each point from the psukim. In other words, the Gemara says, from this pasuk we see X, Y, Z. How does the Gemara know from this pasuk we see X, Y, Z? So the Torah Tamima explains. It's very similar if you learn Chumash and Rashi, and you learn the Sifsei Chachamim on Rashi, the Sifsei often explains how Rashi learned out his idea from the pasuk. Since Rashi is often quoting Chazals, very often, if you want to make a shir, you can compare how the Sifsei Chachamim explains Rashi quoting Chazal to how the Torah Tamima explained Chazal, and you can have like machlokas. And how did Chazal learn out an idea from the pasuk? This happened. You can find this between the Torah Tamima and the Sifsei Chacham. So Torah Tamima was the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, and he was therefore the Netziv's nephew. The Netziv was the Torah Tamima's uncle. The Torah Tamima wrote different svarim. One sefer he wrote was called Mekor Baruch. Mekor Baruch was like a history sefer and biographical sketches of different Gedolim in Europe, and in that Sefer Mekor Baruch, there is a large section on the Netziv, written by the Torah Tamima. That section, the book was written in Hebrew. That section was translated into English by Art Scroll, and it's called My Uncle the Netziv. The author of My Uncle the Netziv is the Torah Tamima, the Aruch HaShulchan's son, who was the Netziv's, and he, the Torah Tamima was the Netziv's nephew. Now, what's interesting is that the Netziv was married twice. His first wife was Nifter, and then his first wife is Nifter. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, who was the Netziv's brother-in-law, married to the Netziv's sister, had a daughter. And the story goes, she was married, and she wanted to marry someone who was very serious about learning. And soon after she was married, she realized this guy was a faker. And he wasn't so into learning, and he didn't take these things so seriously. And she didn't want to stay married to this man who was not into it. I've heard the story a few times from a Rebbe, Rav Shechter Shlita. He said it's quoted, one of the Netziv's sons wrote a biography about, we'll see about his, whatever, I'll go back to that in a second. Okay, so she didn't want to stay married to her husband, and she ran away from her husband. Now, in those days, it was illegal in that part of the world to run away from your husband, so the police were chasing her because she wasn't divorced yet, and she had to hide in a forest for a little while to avoid the police. She would not stay married to someone who wasn't serious about his learning. I guess she must have stayed in Israel for 3 years. Okay, anyway. So that's the Aruch Shulchan's daughter. Finally, she got a divorce. So she hears that the Netziv's first wife died, and she wanted to marry someone who was a learned, someone who knew how to learn, who was a gadol, who knew how to learn. So the Netziv married as his second wife his niece. That's allowed. A man's allowed to marry his niece. The Netziv married the Aruch HaShulchan's daughter. So the Aruch HaShulchan was both the Netziv's brother-in-law and later his father-in-law. So I'm guessing that this line in the Aruch HaShulchan was written before this episode happened, because he just says, Gisi, my brother-in-law. Had it happened later, had the Netziv written this later, he may have said, my brother-in-law and father-in-law, the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, anyway, but here it's very interesting. The Netziv quotes the Aruch HaShulchan, his brother-in-law, and he quotes his son, Rav Chaim Berlin. Rav Shechter just said that there is a, from the Netziv with his second wife, he had a son, Meir, Rav Meir Berlin, and he wrote a short biography about his mother, and that's where the story came out, about his mother's first husband, the Netziv's second wife's first husband, and how she ran away from her first husband, etc. Okay. Anyway, that's Rav Hirsch and the Netziv discussing the leaving out the word Nasi, and by some of the Shvatim, and leaving out the word B'nai. The Netziv has a different shot about the word Nasi. Okay, fine. So that's that. Okay, let's continue back to Rav Hirsch. So, okay, that's Perek Lamed Aleph. Perek Lamed Hey, the Torah talks about the Arei Miklot and the Arim of the Levim. The Levim were given cities, a total of 48 cities to live in. And the Arei Miklot, that if someone killed someone b'shogeg, he would run to the Ir Miklot. Now, the halacha is, the Torah says that if someone kills someone b'shogeg, and then he runs to the Ir Miklot, so he stays there until Admos Kohen Gadol. And Pasuk Kaf Ches, Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Kaf Ches, the Torah says, Ki b'Ir Mikloto Yeshev Admos HaKohen HaGadol Ve'acharei Mos Kohen HaGadol Yashiv Artzeach Eretz Achuzaso. He would stay there until the Mos of the Kohen Gadol. What exactly is the pshat? What the idea of that he stays there until the death of the Kohen Gadol? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. The truth is, it's also in Pasuk Kafei, the Yashav Ba Admos HaKohen HaGadol. So Rashi there quotes two pshatim. What is the connection between this Rotzeach B'Shogeg and the Kohen Gadol? So Rashi quotes pshat number one, the Kohen Gadol, Hu ba lahashros shchina b'Yisrael, ulaharich yimehem, v'aretzeach ba lesalik es hashchina b'Yisrael, umekatzer es yimeachayim. Eini kedai shilfnei Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, he's coming to he helps bring more hashros hashchina, and to extend the lives of the people of B'nai Yisrael with the more shchina and a longer life, and the Rotzeach is being mesalik the shchina. and he's shortening people's lives. So therefore, this person is not worthy of being in front of the Kohen Gadol. So he can't be there. The Kohen Gadol, who was there when he did the murder, the unintentional murder, the Ritzicha B'Shogeg, he can't come out when that Kohen Gadol is still around. Okay, that's one shot which Rashi brings. The second shot, Devar Acher, Lefi Shailo Kohen Gadol Yisparel, Shelo Tera Takol Lo Yisrael B'Chayev. The Kohen Gadol should have davened. The Kohen Gadol should have davened on behalf for Klal Yisrael more, that these types of misfortunes shouldn't happen during his lifetime. There's a different angle. It's not focusing so much on the Rotzeach, it's focusing more on the Kohen Gadol. The Torah here is hinting that the fact that we connect and we make the Rotzeach's leaving the Irmikwat dependent on the death of the Kohen Gadol in some way indicates that the Kohen Gadol also bears some partial responsibility for the Ritzicha B'Shogeg. This is also from the Gemara. These are the two pshatim of Rashi. Okay. Now, Rav Hirsch develops the first pshat of Rashi a little more, and it's a beautiful idea. So that's what I just want to read here from. I want to read here from Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says as follows. Well, see, Rav Hirsch points out, that at the end of the parak, at the end of this parak about Ritzicha B'Shogeg, the Torah says, here's what the Torah says, V'goz hatame yasa'arat asher tem yoshvim ba, asher ani shochein besocha, ki ani Hashem shochein betoch b'nei Yisrael. You shouldn't make tame, you shouldn't make impure the land in which you're going to dwell. In this land, I rest, Hashem says. I dwell, my shechinah rests amongst b'nei Yisrael. So our first says as follows. It is only by these concluding sentences that the institution of Rotzeach and Ir Miklat can be seen in its clearest light. It is respecting the holiness and the incalculable value of every drop of blood of even the lowest of its citizens, with the proclamation of which the people of Hashem are to take possession of their land. To this state, the state of God, the life of its inhabitants is to be considered as the holiest and most precious of all the earthly treasures in its possession. And the public are made responsible for every minute of shortened life of its members. Every second of human life is invaluable. It's the greatest gift that Hashem can give, that a person is alive. So the fact that you have this serious punishment for Ritzicha B'Shogeg reflects the value of human life, reflects the value of the Tzelem Elokim. Rav Hirsch goes on. The Tzelem Elokim of human beings, which lies at the root of and is expressed by this respect for the holiness of human blood, is to be the first factor to which Hashem is at once to... I'll paraphrase. This Tzelem Elokim of human beings lies at the root of this idea of holiness, this holiness of human blood, represents the spiritual and moral base. It's the fruit of life of this state of Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, and of the private and social lives of its adherents. In other words, if you want to have a moral ruchniistic medinas Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, which is what Rav Hirsch is describing, you have to value the Tzelem Elokim. And that's the kedusha that is in every drop of blood, every breath of life, and you have to take it seriously. And if you recognize the kedusha that's inherent in a person, this invaluable Tzelem Elokim that comes from being alive, when a person's alive, he has Tzelem Elokim, and that's invaluable. And you have to appreciate and recognize the value and of that kedusha, the value of one breath of life. Every one of its inhabitants is guaranteed existence and possession of the land only on the condition that he respects the being in the likeness of Hashem. In other words, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Shechinah Shorah, that's the Kedusha. The Kedusha of the Shechina in Eretz Yisrael is reflected in the Kedusha, in the Tzedek Melkim of every single person. And if you can't respect, if you don't show proper respect for the Kedusha of Tzedek Melkim, i.e., you're a little lax, and because you're lax, it leads to unintentional murder, then you don't have the right to wander around. You have to be stuck into one little one city. But the Miklat cities proclaim this principle factually, applying without except to the whole land of all its inhabitants. But, so this is the idea, that to deserve to live in Eretz Yisrael, it's the makom of the Shechina. And a person that doesn't value the Shechina, i.e. a person who doesn't value the Tzel Melkim of a person enough and isn't careful enough, that reflects to a certain degree a lack of valuing the Shechina. And therefore, as a punishment, this person isn't allowed to function in the land normally, and he has to run to an Ir Miklat. And Rav Hirsch explains that this is the pshat of the Chazal, of the first Chazal that Rashi quotes. He says here, on page 573, Rav Meir Omer, Rotzeach mekatzer yom av shal adam, v'kohen gadol marich yom av shal adam, ein din sheyeshev ha-mekatzer v'nei ha-marich. Rabbi Omer, Rotzeach matami es aretz, u'mesalek es ha-shechina, v'kohen gadol degorim she-shechina tishra al-aretz. First quotes the Maamar Chazal that it's really two separate points. One is shortening the life, and one is removing the Shechina. They're connected, but they're said by two separate Tanoim. So our first explains, i.e., the murderer shortens life, the high priest lengthens it. It is not right that the shortener of life should live in the presence of him that lengthens it. Or the murderer brings tumah over the land and drives the presence of Hashem away. The high priest brings the presence of Hashem over the land. It is not right that he who brings tumah over the land should live in front of him that brings the presence of God over the land. If we take all these remarks together, the underlying thought seems to be that the unpremeditated killing, i.e. b'shogeg, of a man is an event which is a contradiction to the mission of the high priest. Oh, okay. So this is what Rav Hirsch writes. This connection to, in other words, what Rav Hirsch is saying here, just let me just say it in a nutshell. The connection that the Gemara draws between Ritzichu B'Shogi and the Shechina, represented by the Kohen Gadol, is really hinted at in the Chumash itself. The Chumash at the end of the parak mentions the Shechina, so there really is the remez of this idea of the whole concept of the punishment for Ritzichu B'Shogi is connected with this, the Hashorash HaShechina, i.e. connected with not taking seriously enough, not focusing enough on the Tzelem Elokim, which is a reflection of the Shechina of Hashem resting in Eretz Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, and Kapara. They worked in the Beis HaMikdash to help in Israel achieve Kapara for their Averos, and they were the teachers of Klal Yisrael. Yoru Mishpatecho LeYaakov, that's the bracha for Levi. Yoru Mishpatecho LeYaakov, the Levim and the Kohanim were the teachers of Klal Yisrael. Oh, so therefore, it makes sense. He went dafka to the Ir Miklat in order to learn there from the Levim and to be influenced by the Levim back to the proper approach to Tzelem Elokim. Oh, he explains here. Rav Hirsch says, the spirit of considering and the seriousness of making resolutions for correct living, which places the whole of our life under the regime of the Torah and makes us carefully weigh every step and every action with that consideration and precaution, which precludes every carelessness and gives no room for punishable thoughtlessness. In other words, to learn about how to avoid even chatayim b'shogeg and to be very careful in your life, that indeed is essentially the purpose of the priesthood among the people. That's for the Levim and the Kohanim to teach you. You did an aver b'shogeg, you have to be more careful in life in general. It's not just a punishment. You have to wake up and look at your whole life in general and how to be more careful in general and change attitudes and change your whole thought process. That requires being taught and learning from the example of the Levim. So this is our first angle on the Levim. He takes the word of the Ir Miklat. He takes the word that Rashi quotes in the Gemara. He points out it's already based on the Chumash itself at the end of the Perek, and he elaborates on it, and he also elaborates on the, he connects it to the point that the Rotzeach B'Shogeg would daf go to the Imiklat of the Iluvim. Okay.
Okay. Rav Nemetzal has an approach here to Parshas Maaseh. In Parshas Maaseh, the idea of Ritzicha B'Shogeg. You know, the Torah treats Ritzicha B'Shogeg in a very severe way. Lots of chumros. Number one, the gullus is open-ended. You know, it can last a very, very... It can last a very, very long time.
Since the Ritzicha B'Shogeg goes free only when the Kohen Gadol dies, so that could be a very long time. It's basically open-ended. It could be years and years and years.
That's number one. Number two, the person who kills B'Shogeg, his whole life is uprooted. He loses his job. He loses his chevra. You know, it's a very severe. Number three, when he gets to the Ir Miklat, here, Rav Nemetzal writes, Mafsid es makom avodaso nifrad mi didei nafsho no teshes b'nei mishpachto ahuvim. His whole life is cut off. That's number two. Number three, when he's in the Ir Miklat, this kesem of being Ritzeach B'Shogeg is always, he always wears this stain. He says, if they want to be mechaved him for an aliyah, he has to say Rotzeach ani. And only if they say, but mikol makom we want to give you an aliyah, then he's allowed to get the aliyah. It's bizui atzmi zochelk mitalicha kapara. Bizui atzmi, he has to degrade himself. That's the language. Vizeh dvar harotzeach. Olav ledaber ulesaper shehu rotzeach. He has to say that he's a rotzeach. So that's number three, that he has to talk about. He has to wear the stain. He has to proclaim the stain. Number four, the Gemara says, "Afilu meis beir miklato ein misaso mekaperes." If he dies there, he doesn't get a full kapara. The halacha is if the rotzeach b'shogeg dies in the Ir Miklat, he's buried in a special cemetery in the Ir Miklat, and the only time he's removed back to his ordinary cemetery, let's say his family has a plot somewhere, that's only after the Kohen Gadol dies, the most Kohen Gadol. So that's very severe. Even death doesn't, normally death brings kapara. Even death doesn't bring this Rotzeach B'Shogeg full kapara. Oh. Five, let's say he lives and the Kohen Gadol, you know, dies, and then he's allowed to go free. He says if he had a public position, Mishrat Siburit, he isn't allowed to return to that position. The Rambam says, etc. He never gets back to his original status. It's mamish, a very, very severe punishment. Now, you know, you can wonder, you know, what exactly is, why? Why is it so, you know, Ritzicha B'Shogeg, he had no intention of the Maisa to occur. The guy's chopping wood. And his whole intention is to chop wood. And as he's chopping, the head of the axe slips off, and Lolinu kills someone. That's Shogeg. He has absolutely no intention of the Maisa to happen. It's interesting. You know, by Shabbos, something like that would be called Misasek, and he'd be Potter. Let's say a person tries to pick up a tomato off the ground, and it turns out that's his intention. And it turns out that the tomato was connected to the ground. That's called misasek, because even though he was kotzer the tomato, he had absolutely no intention to do that. That's called misasek. Oh. So why the terrible strict punishment? What's happening here? Furthermore, you know, this person who's a Ritzicha B'Shogeg, this person might be a wonderful person. He might be an Adam Nifla V'Chashuv. He gives to the Chevra. And what did he do wrong? He was talking on a cell phone. This is Rav Nemetzal's example. He was talking on a cell phone a little bit during driving, and he didn't notice the kid in front of him, and all later we killed him. So this person, you know, he made a mistake. Here's what he says here. He's Adam Nifla, Tari Muchever, and Tib Eber Pelophon, Bam Sanasiya. But what's that? We have to understand exactly. He didn't intend to do it. So why is he being treated so strictly? Well, so the answer, of course, is clear. The answer is the fact that he wasn't careful. When you're involved in something which is inherently very dangerous, you have an obligation to be extra careful. You have an obligation to know what might be happening. This is the pshat. Saying, I didn't notice, is not an excuse. When you're involved in something inherently dangerous, your whole job, your whole obligation is to notice. Kishe adorchimim kol yizahar, kishe kol ma shemutal lechu lehimana, lasim lev, you can't say slicha. No, you can't say that. That's what's happening here. Whoever, if you're doing something that's, if you're involved in something which has the potential, it's inherently dangerous, then you must be extra careful. If you're stam walking down the street and you're not involved in anything dangerous, so you have a general chiyuv to be careful. If something happens, misasek your putter. But if you're involved in something dangerous, driving's an example. You have an extra chiyuv to be careful. You can't say, oh, I didn't notice. You can't say that because you're doing something so dangerous and knowing that it's so dangerous, lo aleinu, if you don't notice, you can kill someone. A person's chopping wood with an axe. That's an inherently dangerous activity. You're giving this potential energy and putting it into the axe. You better be careful where it flies. Well, good. Then Rav Emesal goes further. He says a very deep idea. And he says, you know, the punishment is if you kill someone. Lo aleinu. But the aveira is in the very act of not being careful itself. Because let's say a person throws a rock into the street. Stop. Throws a rock. Cars are driving, throws a rock into the street. And no one gets hurt. Did he violate the mitzvah of Torah? Rav Emesal says, Vadaisha, of course he did. Vadaisha came. Hu chatabakach. He did an aveira. You have a chiv to be careful with your friend's life, and he wasn't careful. Now, Hashem had mercy on this guy, and Hashem caused that the rock shouldn't kill anyone. Okay, Hashem had his reasons for that. But the Aveira is not the killing someone. The Aveira is the lack of being careful. It's a big yisod. You don't get the severe punishment until you kill someone while lo'aleinu. But he says, Bibchinato, this is very sharp. Hu chayav lasos tshuva bidiyuk. The same way a person who's rotzeach b'shogeg sits in the ir miklat for years, a person who does something inherently dangerous which could have killed someone, is chayav to do tshuva in the same way. It's a very sharp yisod. The aveira is not the killing. The aveira is not being careful, which led to the killing. Anytime you're not careful, anytime you do something that's inherently dangerous without being checking it carefully first, you're violating the aveira. Oh, Rav Nevinsel says, sometimes people say, Etmol nahakti maher v'kimat hit nagashti. I almost had an accident. Aber Baruch Hashem lo kara klum. What do you mean lo kara klum? Rav Nevinsel says, B'yetzem kara davar no ra. A terrible thing happened. Hitrashalta b'shmiras nefashos. You were negligent in being careful with other people's lives. Oh, ha'aveira shel choser hazahirus tuluya me'ata v'omedes. This is very sharp musar. The aveira of being negligent is standing there until you get kapara. You see, in a sense, galus is a bracha because that gives you the forces you to think about and to do tshuva. But if a person does not hurt someone, so then he thinks nothing happened, but something did happen. If a person does something dangerous, Rav Nevinsel says speeding is an aveira, even if quote unquote nothing happened. And you have to do tshuva. Oh, Rav Nevinsel writes here. Sometimes people say, you know, I'm not going to keep all the laws of the land here in Eretz Yisrael or the laws of driving. You know, he says, sometimes people think, you know, if you're let's say a person's hashgafa in the Medina, here's what he writes, it's not positive. So therefore I'm going to ignore the laws of the Medina. No! He says, Gam mish hashgafato hadatit, eina makirabi Medina, Chayav lehakpid al kol prat shechukei hanehiga Yoseh me'asher se'if b'shulchan aruch. Sherei chamira sakanta me'isura. Even if you reject and you don't hold of the Medina, you know, as something of any religious importance, but the laws of driving are there for safety. And chamira sakanta me'isura, you must keep these laws. Adam hanoig b'choser zehirut b'imhirut asura. Misho keif mechom shasura b'akifa. Alav ladas. Rav Nematzel says, even if no one else is around and you're not endangering somebody else's life, you're endangering your own life and your rodef is atzma.
Oh. So Rav Nematzel says, speeding or soldiers who aren't careful with their neshek, that's an aveira, passing where it's against the law because it's dangerous, is aser. These are all averos. Oh, mamish, a major yisod. It doesn't matter if nothing happened. Something did happen. You weren't careful, and you took somebody's life, maybe even your own, and you made it dangerous. You're dangerous. Oh, there's a footnote here. There's a book called HaTorah HaMisamachat. It's a biography of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It's a wonderful biography. Rav Kup Menschlit, the head of Mechala. So he said it's the best biography that he, on Rav Shlomo Zalman. That's what he said. And the first version of that book came out, it was printed at the end of Rav Nevensal's Sichot to Yom Kippur. That was an earlier version. And then the book was printed as a book a few years later as a full-blown book. So there's a story in the original version, which is referred to here in the footnotes, and they point out that Rav Nevensal said it couldn't be true, and they double-checked, and it turned out it wasn't true the way it was written, and in the final version of Torah Misamachas, they changed it to what it really was. Oh. Here's the story. Once a Talmud Tzair was driving Rav Shlomo Zalman in his car, and another Talmud joined into the drive. The young driver began to drive very quickly, until he ended up running into a tree, into a wall. B'nei Salon Nizok, Ish, nobody was hurt. Rav Shlomo Zalman sat chared, he was trembling. Ach lo hotzi mipi v'lo mila achat. He didn't say one word. Only when the other Talmud left the car, he turned to the driver, and he gave him Musar, you are Megorim Sekanas Nefashos, and he says, I only didn't say it earlier, in order not to embarrass you in front of the other driver. That's the story. In front of the other passenger, Rav Nevensal called when this was the first published. Rav Nevensal called and said, "It can't be. He can't believe Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't say anything when the guy was driving. You know, maybe he said he quoted here. He was very sharp. The Gemara says, Noach lo adam sheyapil atzmo l'tokiv shana'esh v'al'yab nes penecha v'erbaravim. It says it's better for a person. You know, the Gemara has a lashon. It's better to let yourself be thrown into Kifshan Aish than embarrass somebody else. But it doesn't say you can throw somebody else into Kifshan Aish. Other people's lives were in danger here. The passenger and the driver. Halukan hayuchiv watzil eschayin oseya, v'gam eschayin ahag hapaziz. Atzmo. That means the crazy driver. So once Rav Nevensal made this call, they checked into the one who told the story originally, and they rechecked the facts, and it turns out it was different than the way it was written. And they published the other version, the correct version, in the official book, HaTorah HaMisamachat.
So they checked the story, and the true story, they put it, and they checked, it turns out that was a mistake. In this book, they have the real story was that, a real story was that a boy was driving, and Rav Shlomo Zalman was there, and there was another boy in the back, and the boy driving made a mistake and had a minor accident with someone. He wasn't being careful with the red light, the green light, wasn't being so careful. Because he wasn't being so careful. And the accident was done already. So Rav Shlomo Zalman waited till the boy in the back left to give him Musar. Meaning not that Rav Shlomo Zalman was allowing the boy to drive crazy and didn't say anything. That doesn't make any sense, because if you're endangering someone's life, you're with us here. So anyway, so they changed that story because of Nevensal said a campaign, and they checked into it and they saw, oh, it turns out somehow the story got changed from a boy having a minor accident to a boy driving crazy and nuts and
oh. It's a very sharp comment. When a person's involved, you have to realize that driving is a serious endeavor,
it's inherently dangerous, and a person has to be extra careful when they're driving. Saying "I didn't notice" isn't a good excuse. Your whole job is to notice. When you're driving, you have to be like extra aware, and that's a major yisod. And that's the pshad of tzicha b'shogeg, and the chiddush of this and mamash, it's a musar vort. The aveira is not that somebody was killed. The aveira is that you weren't careful. And even if nobody's killed, you still have, a person has to do tshuva for the inherent involvement in a dangerous activity. And it's a big yisod. And in many ways, if no one gets hurt, you feel, oh, Baruch Hashem, no one got hurt. What do you mean? But yeah, but then you might be less motivated to do tshuva. So we have to take this to heart. The minimum, of course, is the person has to drive carefully and drive within the norm, the accepted speed limit, and to not drive in a crazy way. And this is mamish, a lesson for all of us. You know, when people drive, it's inherently dangerous. You have to really be very, very careful. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay, in Parshas Maaseh, Rav Nemetzal has a shiur where he discusses the koach of tefillah. We already discussed here in Maaseh the idea of tzicha b'shogeg, that you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful, cause anyone to be killed, chas v'shalom. So, new, what do you have to do? Ma'yesh la'asos kedei limnoa shfichus dam. So he says you have to do two things. You have to do gashmias and ruchnias. Gashmias and ruchnias. Number one, as we've already discussed in the gashmias, you have to be careful. That he had a whole shiur on, to be very careful about things, be careful with driving, etc., etc. Okay. And number two, we have a ruchnias thing, tefillah. A ruchnias tefillah, this we'll discuss more in a minute. The koach of tefillah is so strong that with the koach of tefillah can help you avoid a situation where chas v'shalom you cause someone the ritzicha b'shogeg. The Chazal say that the mothers of the kohen gadols would give to the rotskim and nari mitchot food and water. Why? So they'd feel good over there, because if they weren't happy in nari mitchot and they'd want to go home, what would they do? They would daven, the kohen gadol should die, because we know that the rotskim b'shogeg go free if and when the kohen gadol dies. So in order that they shouldn't die, that the Kohen Gadol should die, the mothers of the Kohen Gadol would give them food and water. Now, the Gemara asks, but what's pshat? And let's say the Rotschim did make this tefillah. So what? It's a kilul lashav. The Kohen Gadol didn't do anything to them. So therefore, of course, those tefillahs won't be accepted. The Gemara says no. The Kohen Gadol, this is an amazing Gemara, the Kohen Gadol is partially responsible that these rotzchim are in the Arei Miklat. The Kohen Gadol is partially responsible that the rotzchim are in the Miklat. Why? Because if im haya mitpalel tov yoter, hayaproni nizhar b'maisa v'ayaretzeach b'shogeg. If the Kohen Gadol would have davened better, then this person would have been more careful and wouldn't have been killed b'shogeg. So therefore, if these rotzchim b'shogeg would daven against the Kohen Gadol, then it could be accepted, this tefillah. Because this tefillah is based on something real. This is the Gemara in Makos Daf Yud Aleph. This is unbelievable. The Gemara says that there's a connection between the Kohen Gadol's tefillah and this person not being careful. The fact that Reuven wasn't careful and killed Shimon is connected with the lack of tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. What do you see? So we see that yes, a person has a b'chir chafshis. And in general, Hashem is not mitzarev into one's b'chir chafshis. But, b'schus tefillah, Hashem is even mitzarev into someone's b'chir chafshis. Unbelievable idea. That's what Nevin Saul says over here. Oh, so these are the two ideas. There's the gashmias and the ruchnias. We'll get back to the ruchnias later. This is a major yisod and hashgaf. We'll get back to you in a few minutes. First of all, back to the gashmias. Nevin Saul explains that the tefillah has to be on top of the gashmias. First you do the physical ishtadlus, then you do the tefillah. You can't say the tefillah takes the place of everything. For he gives an example here. He says, let's say a person has a hole in his front yard. He has a hole in his front yard, and is afraid someone might fall in. So he can just daven, no one's going to fall in. You can't do that. You can't leave it uncovered. You can't say, oh, Bezat Hashem, I have emunah. that no one will fall there. No, you have to cover it up. He says, v'mikrezeh, it's a chiyuv to cover the boar more than there's a chiyuv to uncover and reveal more amunah. So first you cover the boar. First you drive carefully. First you do your ishtadlus to make sure everything in your physical life doesn't cause somebody else chas shalom b'tzicha b'shogeg. And on top of that, you use the koach of tefillah. Oh, so again, so that's the gashmi side. Now let's get back to the koach of tefillah. So the koach of tefillah, Rav Nevin here develops a yesod. This yesod, that tefillah has the koach, Rav Nevin Sol here is saying, tefillah has the koach to affect b'chir chafshis. That's what we saw was proven from the Gemara regarding the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol's tefillah could have had an impact on these people being careful. So there's a connection between the Kohen Gadol not davening well enough and the fact that these roads are in the Eir Miklat. Rav Nevin Sol now brings several examples of this idea. Oh, Chazal say in Avodah Zarah Daf Hei, Hashem said on Har Sinai, Mi yitein v'yal levavam zeh lehem v'yirosi kol yamim. Hashem said, it would be wonderful if their hearts would fear me all the days. B'nei Yisrael should have said right then, Yitein lanu ata Yerushalayim, give us Yerushalayim. That's what the Gemara says. B'nei Yisrael should have asked for Yerushalayim. Now, l'chor, this is very difficult. New, we have a rule. Hakol b'nei Yisrael chutzim Yerushalayim. It's a famous Maimer Chazal.
So the Chazonish says...
That based on the Rambam, that tefillah is part of the chutz mi Yerushalayim. If somebody davens for Yerushalayim, Hashem will help them have more Yerushalayim. So when we say hakol b'dei shemayim, this is a very important yesod in life. When we say hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mi Yerushalayim, that means chutz mi having Yerushalayim, and chutz mi davening for Yerushalayim. If you daven for Yerushalayim, that's part of your actions for Yerushalayim, and that will bring you to more Yerushalayim. That's what this Gemara is assuming, and the Chazon Ish has a proof. The Chazon Ish bases this on the Rambam. There's a major yesod, that just like we found by the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, could have affected the Bechir Chavshis of these Rotzlim B'Shogeg, so too a person's own tefillah can have an impact on his own Yerushalayim. That's Uchor Kimur Fruish in this Gemara Daf Hei. That's point number one. Very big Yesod. Point number two. We say in the Birchas HaChodesh, we ask Hashem, Chaim Sheibanu Yerushalayim V'ar Yerushalayim. And that's what we say. So what do we see? We see that your tefillos have an impact. You're asking Hashem for Yerushalayim V'ar Yerushalayim. It's not a tefillah shav, chas v'shalom. If you're asking for it, it must be, it can have an impact. That's the second example. Third, Moshe davened that Yehoshua shouldn't fall in the atzas of the Meraglim. Oh, also Kalev davened for himself that he shouldn't fall in the chet of the Meraglim. And the Gemara in Sota says that the tefillos worked. It's a big yesod. L'chor de b'chir chafshis, so what happened? Even though there's b'chir chafshis, tefillah can help. So it's a third example. On top of the major Gemara in Makos, there's a third example where tefillah can help impact on one's b'chir chafshis, on one's Yerushalayim. That's three. Four, every Shabbos we say in Yikum Purkan, Zara digo yifsog v'digo yiftom v'pizkam yiraisa. Hashem, give me children that they're involved in learning in Yerushalayim. Or that depends on the b'chir chafshis. No, tefillah hagunah sheli will help my son want to have a good chevra and want to have Yerushalayim and learn Torah. So it's a fourth example where tefillah impacts on Yerushalayim b'chir chafshis. Five, we say in our tefillah skuchol, Hashiveinu avinu asarasecha v'karveinu makenu avarasecha. Oh, again, whether I serve Hashem or whether I go to Hashem, that depends on my b'chir chafshis. But what did we see? That through the koach of tefillah, it'll be good in Hashem's eyes that we get close to Hashem. He'll help us get close to. He'll help us come close to Hashem. Oh, that's a fifth example. Oh. So this is a very impressive list. We have this major yesod in the Gemara in Makos. We have this major yesod of the Gemara in Makos that Rav Nevin Sol explains. And then we have a list of five examples where we mamash daven to affect our bechira. Daven for Yerushalayim. A person should take this to heart. I'm not sure we have to add any new tefillos. But when we say these tefillos, realize what we're asking for. Hashem, I want your siyata d'shmaya in me or my children or people I daven for having more Yerushalayim. It's a major. This is a major yisod in hashkafa. The Chazon Ish says it. The Gemara really says it. The Tfilos say it. It's a major yisod in hashkafa. The Rav Nemetzal develops here in two pages in the Sichos to Bamidbar that Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyir Shemayim. Part of the Chutz Miyir Shemayim is Tfilah on Yir Shemayim. It's a major yisod. A person should realize that they're davening that Hashem should help them have Siyata Deshmaya in having more Yir Shemayim. Finally, I just wanted to add that when I read this piece, I thought, L'chora, there's another example. The bracha of Amar B'Sheina. The bracha of Amar B'Sheina. In the bracha of Amar B'Sheina, we mamish daven for Hashem should help us. Targlenu b'sara secha, takenu mitzvah secha, al tivyenu lo lidei chet v'lo lidei aveira. We ask for all this in Hashem. You help us, don't, that we shouldn't do a chet and an aveira. I mentioned this to Rav Nemetzal. He agreed. Rav Nemetzal agreed. Baruch Shekivanti. He agreed that we should add this bracha to the list. So Rav Nevensol quotes the Gemara in Makos as the major Yisod, where it's explicit the Kohen Gadol could have impacted on the Pirei Chavshus of the Rotzkin B'Shogeg. He then quotes five examples, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that Bnei Yisrael should have davened for Yiras Shemayim. The Pirkas HaChodesh, Chaim Sheish from Yiras Shemayim V'Yiras Chet. Moshe davening for Yoshua, Kalev davening for himself, that's three. Four, we say Zarah D'lo Yisek V'D'lo Yivtomi Piskamei Araisa, we say in Yerkum Purkan. Five, that we're asking for Hashem should help us have more Yir Shemayim, more about, better Avodas Hashem. And six, the other example of Amar B'Sheina, it's a major Yisod in Avodas Hashem, that davening for Yir Shemayim is part of one's, can be part of one's Yir Shemayim. We should all take this to heart and think about it. And we're davening in our tefillos, recognize that we're davening that we should achieve more Yir Shemayim. That's our kavanah. That's what we're saying. Mamash, the major Yisod. Okay, so this is Rav Nevensol on Parshas Maaseh. You want to avoid injuring, hurting others. A, do your physical hishtadlus, cover that hole if there's a hole in your front yard. And B, daven to Hashem that you shouldn't cause anyone sorrows. Daven to Hashem that you shouldn't cause anyone to die at your hands, chas v'shalom, b'ritzichu v'shogeg. Daven to Hashem that Hashem should give you shayit v'shayit to be more careful and that should affect your b'chir chafshis, that you shouldn't be a rotzech v'shogeg, chas v'shalom. And based on that, Rav Nemetzal expands, daven to Hashem, that you should have more Yiras Shemayim. That's what we're saying. That's exactly the idea here. Oh, mamash, a major, major yisod, in Avodas Hashem, here in Rav Nemetzal Sicha, to Parshas Maaseh. Okay, we'll stop here. Oh, okay, so let's go to Bamidbar, Lamed Hei Ches. We're going to get back to the grow-like thing now. Okay, so the Torah here is talking about the cities of the Levim. Levim had cities that they were given in Eretz Yisrael. And they had cities, and there was a migrash around the cities. Okay, so the Torah says in Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Ches, Perek Lamed Ches Pasuk Hei, the Torah says, "Umadosem michutz la'ir es paas kedma al payim ba'amo, ves paas negav al payim ba'amo," etc. That when you measure the city, the Levim got a migrash of 2,000 amos around the city. So like that 2,000 amos around the city was like an extension of the city. Okay? The Torah says 2,000 amos. This is the makor in the Gemara for the concept of the Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 amos. You know, it's all over the Shabbos, Erev, and Beitzah. That is 2,000 amos. You can't walk more than 2,000 amos beyond the city limits. Some say it's deraisa. Assuming it's their eyes, Rav Nevensol quotes here. This is the makor. They go in 2,000 amos. He quotes here the Gemara. Lamdu bezeh mehaikra alpayim ama tchum Shabbos. That bezeyu kol shev se Shabbos. All shev se Shabbos to these 2,000 amos. Now notice on the word alpayim bo ama, alpayim, the trup by the word alpayim is called a yerach ben yomo. It's an upside down esnachta. It's a very strange trup. It's called Yerach Ben Yoma. Those are the letters. Yud Reish Ches Ben Yoma. That's what Rav Nevensol quotes it there. Yerach Ben Yoma. Okay? That's the name of the trup. I'm not a Balkore. It's very uncommon. It's very, very, very few times in the whole Torah. Yeah. Look at the word Alpine. See, under Alpine, there's a strange... It's an upside down Esnachta. You see that? Look under the word. It's okay now. When Bnei Yisrael were Makadesh the Chodesh al Pi Re'iyah in the old days, what would happen? Adim would see the new moon. They'd see the sliver of the new moon. They'd go to Beis Din, right? They'd run to Beis Din and say, "We saw the new moon." The din is,
the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that midah rais, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to go testify about the new moon. You're allowed to testify, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. He quotes here, mechalim es Shabbos, when you see the levana b'chidusha, you can, when there's a base of the mikdash, you're allowed to go to the base of mikdash and mechal Shabbos to get there. Now, nowadays, if we were doing this, you know, chil Shabbos would be, you know, driving in a car. In those days, what was the ikar chil Shabbos that a person would do? What? To go outside the tchum, to leave the tchum. To leave the tchum. So it's mutter to go out of the tchum d'araisa when you're testifying about the new moon. Rav Nevin Saul thinks that's why you have this really strange ta'am here. The word, what's the name of this note? Yerach ben Yomo. A moon that's one day old. That's what the words mean. Yerach ben Yomo. A one day old moon. It's a remez that even though the Torah tells us it's usher to be by the Chum Shabbos, there's an exception. What's the exception? A Yerach ben Yomo is the exception. That when you see the new moon, the first day of the new moon, you're allowed to mechal Shabbos. So the Torah points. Yes. You're allowed to mechal Shabbos about a one day old moon. This is Grolike. The Rav Nevetzal said, he noticed that this trup on this phrase word in the Pasuk, It's very uncommon, almost nowhere else in the Chumash. Why is it here? It's a remez that Yerach ben Yomo plays a role about this pasuk. It's hard to beat this, you know, unless you're the Grah. It's hard to beat this. This is mamish, you know. Could have the, now, so when, okay, you got this? You got this? This is big. You got this?
Finally, at the end of the parsha, Rav Hirsch gives a summary of all the mitzvos that are in Bamidbar. Rav Hirsch says as follows. Okay. This is the end of Bamidbar. The commandments and regulations given from Perek Kaf Beis until here, which are what? The fresh census of the people, the regulations for the division of the land, the appointment of Yehoshua, the Karbanos Tzibur, the rights of making Nedarim, the treatment of food and vessels taken from the treatment for use for food of the kalim that are taken over from non-Jewish possession, the rights and duties of the tribes who receive their land in the Transjordan area, the cleansing of the land from polytheistic matters, fixing the borders of the land, the arei miklat, the temporary measures of marriages, of heiresses of land property, that's the Benos Slavchad. All of these laws and regulations are more or less in connection with the imminent taking possession of the land. Hence, we're given at the border, in view of the land, Be'arvos Moav Al Yodein Yericho. That's the last pasuk in Bamidbar. Eila Mitzvos HaMishpatim Reshetiv Hashem B'Yad Moshe El Bnei Yisrael Be'arvos Moav Al Yodein Yericho. Al Yodein Yericho. So our first says that the Torah is telling you, yeah, they're on the border of Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe gives them a recap, or teaches them new halachos, which will apply for going into Eretz Yisrael, and all of these are connected with entering into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that is Parshas Maaseh. Now, when you end every Chumash in the Torah, you say, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, which means literally, be strong, and we will be strong. It's like, you be strong, and we will be strong. So it's a little bit repetitious. Obviously, if you're strong and you're strong, then we're all going to be strong. So I once heard a sermon about this from Rav Neuberger Shlita. He's a Rebbe in YU, and he's the Rav of a shul in Bergenfield, New Jersey. And he said the following idea. When you're in a community, then when you, let's say, strengthen yourself in Avodas Hashem, you're not just affecting yourself, but rather you're affecting the community as a whole. You're raising the level of the community. So when you strengthen yourself, aside from helping yourself, you're also helping everyone in the community, because you, by strengthening yourself, are making the community a stronger place. And now every member of the community is living in a stronger community, and that impacts on them in the community. And then it comes back and impacts on you again. I'll give you a mashal. Let's say you're in a neighborhood with a shul of 400 families, and the rabbi gives a shiur in Hilchos Shabbos for women on Wednesday nights, and three women go. So what do you call that? A nebuch shiur. 3 out of 400 go. But let's say 40 or 50 women go. Well, once 40 or 50 women go, that becomes, hey, that's the exciting place to go on Wednesday nights, to go to the Rav Shir. So once 40 or 50 go, it's more likely that more will start going above the 40 and 50, because that's the place to be now on a Wednesday night in this neighborhood is at the Rav Shir. So when each person makes a decision to go to the Shir, when you decide to go to the Shir, you're not just deciding to go to the Shir. If you go to the Shir, you're also impacting on the community as a whole. And you're raising the level of the community as a whole. And now every member of the community is in a stronger, more Torah community. And that raises their level. And then that rebounds back on you. And it's like a geometric cycle. In other words, it's not that 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3, but rather 1 plus 1 plus 1 in this area equals 4. If each person takes a small step forward in their Avodas Hashem, then they have now raised the level of their community, and therefore the overall impact will be more than the one step. It's going to be a greater impact, because me making the community stronger helps you serve Hashem better, and that's an added plus. That's part of my moving forward in Avodas Hashem. Let's say girls told me that, let's say when they're in Stern. So one night a week, many students like to get together. They learn in one night a week, and you walk in and 60, 70, or they learn together in one of the rooms there Let's say you have 60, 70 girls learning together in the same room. It's a chizuk. When you walk in and say, hey, there are 60 people here. So it gives you a chizuk that you're in a place that 60 people on their own volunteer to go learn something during the week on their own. It's a chizuk. It's a chizuk for you. So your choice to go to this extra learning program doesn't just help you. It helps the whole environment in which you're in, and it affects everyone in a stronger way. Like I said, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 4. Rav Neuburger said that might be the pshat in chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. You be strong and you be strong, and then we will all be stronger together. Not that 1 plus 1 is 2. That's obvious. That's repetitious. No, 1 plus 1 is 3. If you're strong and you're strong, then all of us will be stronger. It's a very nice idea. You're part of a community, and you're deciding whether to go to this year or go to that year. It's a big responsibility, because it's not just for yourself, but you're impacting on the whole. You're impacting on the whole community, and more people go. More people go. You know, I see this in my show as well. The Rav of my show gives different shirim during the week. So, if the shir has 4 or 5 people, okay, 4 or 5. But once the shir gets up to 10 or 15, well, then a lot of people are there. So once it gets bigger and bigger, then more and more come, and it feeds on itself. It really feeds on itself. When there's enough of a critical mass of people going to a shir or going to a learning program at night, then it affects the whole neighborhood, and everyone wants to go, and then more people start going, and then more people start going. Okay, this is chazak chazak v'nis chazek, and you be strong, and we will all be stronger together when it comes to ruchnius, when it comes to avodas Hashem and ruchnius, in a communal setting. 1 plus 1 plus 1 doesn't equal 3, rather 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 4. Okay, we'll stop here for Parshas Maaseh and the end of Bamidbar.